The scripture reading this afternoon is Leviticus chapter 14, verses 1 through 32. Leviticus 14, beginning at verse 1, this is the word of God. And the Lord spoke unto Moses, saying, "This shall be the law of the leper in the day of his cleansing. He shall be brought unto the priest, and the priest shall go forth out of the camp, and the priest shall look, and behold, if the plague of leprosy be healed in the leper, then shall the priest command to take for him that is to be cleansed two birds alive and clean, and cedar wood, and scarlet, and hyssop. And the priest shall command that one of the birds be killed in an earthen vessel over running water. As for the living bird, he shall take it and the cedar wood and the scarlet and the hyssop and shall dip them and the living bird in the blood of the bird that was killed over the running water. And he shall sprinkle upon him that is to be cleansed from the leprosy seven times and shall pronounce him clean and shall let the living bird loose into the open field. And he that is to be cleansed shall wash his clothes and shave off all his hair and wash himself in water that he may be clean. And after that he shall come into the camp and shall tarry abroad out of his tent 7 days. But it shall be on the seventh day that he shall shave all his hair off his head and his beard and his eyebrows, even all his hair he shall shave off, and he shall wash his clothes. Also he shall wash his flesh in water, and he shall be clean. On the eighth day he shall take two he lambs without blemish, and one ewe lamb of the first year without blemish, and 3/10 deals of fine flour for a meat offering, mingled with oil, and 1 log of oil. And the priest that maketh him clean shall present the man that is to be made clean, and those things before the Lord, at the door of the tabernacle of the congregation. And the priest shall take one he lamb and offer him for a trespass offering, and the log of oil, and wave them for a wave offering before the Lord. And he shall slay the lamb in the place where he shall kill the sin offering and the burnt offering, in the holy place. For as the sin offering is the priest's, so is the trespass offering. It is most holy. And the priest shall take some of the blood of the trespass offering, and the priest shall put it upon the tip of the right ear of him that is to be cleansed, and upon the thumb of his right hand, and upon the great toe of his right foot. And the priest shall take some of the log of oil, and pour it into the palm of his own left hand. And the priest shall dip his right finger in the oil that is in his left hand, and shall sprinkle of the oil with his finger 7 times before the Lord. And of the rest of the oil that is in his hand shall the priest put upon the tip of the right ear of him that is to be cleansed, and upon the thumb of his right hand, and upon the great toe of his right foot, upon the blood of the trespass offering. And the remnant of the oil that is in the priest's hand he shall pour upon the head of him that is to be cleansed, and the priest shall make an atonement for him before the Lord. And the priest shall offer the sin offering, and make an atonement for him that is to be cleansed from his uncleanness, and afterward he shall kill the burnt offering. And the priest shall offer the burnt offering and the meat offering upon the altar, and the priest shall make an atonement for him, and he shall be clean. And if he be poor, and cannot get so much, then he shall take 1 lamb for a trespass offering to be waved, to make an atonement for him, and 1/10 deal of fine flour mingled with oil for a meat offering, and 1 log of oil, and 2 turtle doves and 2 young pigeons, such as he is able to get. And the one shall be a sin offering, and the other a burnt offering. And he shall bring them on the eighth day for his cleansing unto the priest, unto the door of the tabernacle of the congregation before the Lord. And the Lord shall take the lamb of the trespass offering. The priest shall take the lamb of the trespass offering and the log of oil, and the priest shall wave them for a wave offering before the Lord. And he shall kill the lamb of the trespass offering, And the priest shall take some of the blood of the trespass offering, and put it upon the tip of the right ear of him that is to be cleansed, and upon the thumb of his right hand, and upon the great toe of his right foot. And the priest shall pour out of the oil into the palm of his own left hand, and the priest shall sprinkle with his right finger some of the oil that is in his left hand 7 times before the Lord. And the Lord shall put of the oil that is in his hand upon the tip of the right ear of him that is to be cleansed, and upon the thumb of his right hand, and upon the great toe of his right foot, upon the place of the blood of the trespass offering. And the rest of the oil that is in the priest's hand he shall put upon the head of him that is to be cleansed, to make an atonement for him before the Lord. And he shall offer the one of the turtle doves, or of the young pigeons, such as he can get. Even such as he is able to get, the one for a sin offering, and the other for a burnt offering, with the meat offering, and the priest shall make an atonement for him that is to be cleansed before the Lord. This is the law of him in whom is the plague of leprosy, whose hand is not able to get that which pertains to his cleansing. Thus far, the reading of God's holy word this afternoon. Let's now call on the name of the Lord in prayer. Well, this morning we witnessed from God's word a very joyous occasion. And this afternoon we want to look at the follow-up to this joyous occasion. And it is a very sad follow-up, a very sad occasion. Our text is verse 43 to 45 of Mark chapter 1. He straightly charged him, and forthwith sent him away, and said unto him, See thou say nothing to any man, but go thy way, show thyself to the priest, and offer for thy cleansing those things which Moses commanded, for a testimony unto them. But he went abroad, he went out, and began to publish it much, and to blaze abroad the matter, insomuch that Jesus could no more openly enter into the city, but was without in desert places, and they came to him from every quarter. Our theme is a continuation, and Jesus cleanses the leper. We see first Jesus' command, secondly, the leper's disobedience, and thirdly, the consequences. Jesus' command. He straightly charged him. When you charge somebody, you give them a charge. It is a stern rebuke. It's to command him with emphasis. To charge with an earnest admonition, even with threatening. All that is included in this little word, he straightly charged him. It's like your parents saying to your children, you better do your homework or else. That's what's behind that word charge. He straightly charged him and forthwith sent him away. Immediately he sent him away. He's thrusting him out of the way. As if he's saying, get out of here. Get away from this crowd. We can imagine the crowd that has gathered around now. When the Lord has healed this leper. The people have seen it. They've never seen the likes. Who can believe this? This is such a great occasion. But Jesus says, he straightly charged him and sent him away. And said to him, See thou say nothing to any man. See to it, take care that you don't say anything to anyone. In Greek, it's a double negative. It's like saying, tell no one nothing. And that just reinforces the idea of silence. Jesus heals the leper. He's immediately cleansed. And then he says to him, go away. Say nothing to anyone. How strange. How strange. But it's not the only time Jesus does this. It happens more often after healing people. You read of the two blind men who received their sight in Matthew chapter 9. Jesus straightly charged them, saying, see that no man know it. And after Jairus' daughter is raised from the dead, he says, he charged them straightly that no man should know it. He heals the blind man at Bethesda. He sent him away to his house saying, neither go into the town nor tell it to anyone in the town. What are we to make of this? It's just the opposite of what he said to Legion, out of whom he had cast many demons. Jesus said to him, go home to thy friends and tell them how great things the Lord has done for thee and has had compassion on thee. Now that makes sense to me. Tell how great things the Lord has done. But to the leper he says, don't say anything to anyone. Why? Why may the leper not tell anyone? Is it not good news? To be cleansed of leprosy, that's the best thing that can happen. If you're a leper, shouldn't he tell everyone? Extolling the name of Jesus, giving glory to God? Those are the kind of questions I imagine are going through the mind of the leper. Such a great deliverance, and now I have to be silent about it? That doesn't make any sense. See, thou say nothing to any man, but go thy way. Go thy way. That's another command from Jesus here. Go away. Withdraw yourself from here. Go away from this crowd. But go thy way. He's not to tell anyone anything, but to do just the opposite. Go away from all these people. Don't draw attention to yourself. Go all by yourself to the priest. To the priest? Where is the priest? Well, he's at the temple in Jerusalem. What a disappointment. Is to go to the priest. Why? Show thyself to the priest, says Jesus, and offer for thy cleansing those things which Moses commanded for a testimony unto them. That's why we read Leviticus 14. Because there is the ceremonial law for lepers who are healed. And this law is still in effect when Jesus is on earth. Jesus came to fulfill the law. This part of it too. And he wants the leper to go and show himself to the priest for an examination and to offer thanksgiving for his healing. The law of the lepers was very clear in Leviticus 14, and you can be sure that this leper knew it. He'd heard this law many times. He'd heard, you can't come in here. You can't come into this town. You can't come near the temple. You can't come near anybody, because it says so in Leviticus. And here in Leviticus 14, there's an 8-day process that's supposed to take place when a leper is cleansed. The leper is supposed to bring two birds to the priest on the first day. And to kill one of those birds, it all goes into great detail, and to dip the live bird in the blood, and then the priest will sprinkle the leper 7 times with the blood, and he will let that live bird go, and now the leper is restored to his place among the people. He could live in town again, but he would still not be pronounced clean. That happened after the 8th day, when the priest made atonement for the leper. And he applies blood to the tip of the right ear. And the thumb of his right hand, and the great toe of his right foot. And then he applies oil to that, to the tip of his right ear, and the thumb of his right hand, and the great toe of his right foot. And that leper is now restored, and he may come back into the temple. He is pronounced clean, totally restored to all the privileges of the people. And nobody can ban him anymore. That's the law of the leper. But what's central to that law, what is central to Leviticus 14, is the idea of atonement. It's mentioned 6 times. In verse 18, the priest shall make an atonement for him before the Lord. In verse 19, the priest shall make an atonement for him that is to be cleansed. In verse 20, the priest shall offer the burnt offering and the meat offering upon the altar, and the priest shall make an atonement for him, and he shall be clean. In verse 21, he shall take one lamb for a trespass offering to be waved, to make an atonement for him. In verse 29, to make an atonement for him before the Lord. And in verse 31, the priest shall make an atonement for him that is to be cleansed before the Lord. So the central picture in all the ceremony is that of atonement. And it is always done with the shedding of blood. And that is what we need to remember too. There is no remission of sins without the shedding of blood. And all these blood sheddings are types of Christ's sacrifice. This is what Christ came to do, to fulfill the law. And He shows that He will keep the law. It's still in effect. And He will fulfill it. Christ is the atonement. Christ makes the atonement. Romans 5 verse 10 and 11. For if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to death, to God, by the death of His Son, much more being reconciled, we shall be saved by His life. And not only so, but we also joy in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom we have now received the atonement. By Christ. And this is why Jesus wants this leper to go to the priest, to offer the offering, so that he will have a clear view of what is really going on. It's not about his leprosy. It's about the atonement of Christ. And only when that atonement is made, can this leper be reconciled again. Children, when you think of the word atonement, you can break it up into 3 pieces. At one ment. He makes atonement, He makes us at one again with God. That we can be at one. And the leper here could be at one with the nation. He could be at one with the temple worshippers. He could be at one with God through the atonement of the Lord Jesus. Go thy way, says Jesus. Go, show thyself to the priest, and offer for thy cleansing those things which Moses commanded in Leviticus 14 for a testimony unto them. So the purpose is for this leper to go to the priest and to present himself, to show them, I am clean now, I am healed. Jesus has cleansed me. And if the priests and the leaders still refuse to believe that Jesus is the Messiah after He heals a leper, something that has never been done, then they still will not believe Him. But Jesus is going to take away that slander. He's the one who kept the law. And He continues to keep it. This would show Christ's perfect innocence, that even this leper is not outside of the law. He has to follow the law. And that law is not fulfilled until Christ dies on the cross. So this leper still has to do this. It would be the first occasion recorded of a leper being cleansed in Jewish temple history. If this man goes to the temple, it will be a testimony of Christ Jesus that He is the Messiah. He is who He says He is. What He says is true, and He proves it by His healings. Well, surely the leper will do what Jesus has told him to do. Won't he? No, he won't. He doesn't. If the leper obeyed Jesus, then verse 45 would read, "And he said nothing, but he went his way to the priest." But that's not what verse 45 reads. We read there of his disobedience, "But he went out and began to publish it much and to blaze abroad the matter." What a contrast. What a contrast to the way we saw him coming this morning. In verse 40, there came the leper to him, beseeching him, kneeling down to him, saying to him, "If thou wilt, thou canst make me clean." There he is meek, he is submissive, he is dependent, he's humble, he's trusting, subjecting himself to the Lord's will, but not here. Here he goes his own way. He does what he thinks is right. But he went out, and he began to publish it much, and to blaze abroad the matter. Jesus had said, "Say nothing to any man, but go thy way." Jesus gave very clear, very precise instructions. There can be no doubt about what Jesus meant here. But what else could he possibly have meant when he said, "Go thy way, say nothing to anybody, go to the priest"? That's what he said. That's what he meant. But the leper went out and began to publish it much. Instead of telling no one anything, instead of going to the priest, instead of bringing the offering to the temple, he went out and he began. He should have gone quietly on his way. But he went out. He should have said nothing to any man, but he began to publish it much. He should have silently shown himself to the priest, but he blazed abroad the matter. Children, you know what that's called. When your parents tell you very clearly to do a certain thing, and you do the exact opposite, what's that called? Disobedience. Disobedience. And that's what the leper's doing. He's disobeying Jesus. He's rebelling against Jesus. Some people raise questions here. They say, was Jesus serious in forbidding the leper to tell anyone? Did Jesus mean it to command him to go to the priest and to make an offering? Some people want to twist things and say that Jesus had some ulterior motives here. He was just doing these things to test the leper's faith, to see if he would go out and praise him. If he would go out and tell everybody and praise the Lord Jesus. But you can't twist Jesus' words. You can't make him say something he didn't say. People like that like to skip over verse 44. Oh, that's just that Old Testament symbolism. We don't need to bother with that. Let's leave verse 44 out and change the first words of verse 45 to, "And he went out." Not but "and." See, if we do that, which we may not do, but if we do that, then the leper becomes our hero. And we say, "Oh, he's a Christian on fire for the Lord. He's going to tell everybody." But he's not. A Christian on fire for the Lord is an obedient Christian. And here the Lord Jesus has said, "Don't tell anybody." The leper is not our hero. No, he's not. He's placed in Scripture as an example for us not to do what he did. He began to publish it much. He proclaimed it wherever he went. He made it known to anyone who would hear him. He blazed abroad the matter. He spread it around. He broadcast it. It's like a news broadcast. News flash. Jesus healed a leper. He healed me. Look at me. I'm clean. Jesus did it. And we can understand the leper, can't we? If we've been seriously ill and we've been cured, we want to tell everyone. Dr. So-and-so prescribed such and such a thing and or did certain surgery and now I'm healed. And I want everybody to know, if you have my same problem, go to that doctor. He knows how to cure you. You know what the problem here is? The leper becomes the center of attention. And he isn't. He's never meant to be. But didn't Jesus say in another place, I tell you that if these should hold their peace, the very stones would immediately cry out. See, in my opinion, the leper's doing the right thing. But see, my opinion is irrelevant unless it agrees with what the Lord says. My opinion is to be shaped by what God says. We must see ourselves as the Lord sees us. And how does He reveal Himself in His Word? What does the Lord tell of His people? He that keeps my commandment keeps his own soul. Whoever keeps the law is a wise son, in Proverbs. The leper had come to Jesus calling him Lord. Lord, if thou wilt. And Jesus would say to him, why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say? Whoever comes to me and hears my sayings and does them, I will show you to whom he is like. He's like a man who built a house and dug deep and laid the foundation on a rock. When the flood arose, the streams beat vehemently upon that house and could not shake it because it was founded upon a rock. Oh, this leper. I'm sure he loved Jesus. Don't you think so? Jesus cleansed him from his leprosy. But Jesus says, if you love me, keep my commandments. And he had made it very clear to this leper, my commandment to you, Mr. Leper, is say nothing to anyone. But go your way. Go to the priest and show the offerings. That was Jesus' command to this leper. And he didn't do it. He disobeyed. He rebelled against the great physician. You know, in so many ways you see such great contrast between Jesus and this leper. The leper is told to leave the crowd. Leave the crowd. You read of Jesus that they all left Jesus, including his disciples. They don't stay with him. Jesus in Gethsemane says to his Father, Father, not as I will, but as thou wilt. The leper, he shows by his actions, Jesus, not as thou wilt, but as I will. I'm going to do it my way. I'm going to refuse to obey Jesus. See, if that leper had gone to the priest, after all the legal ceremonies, he would have been declared clean. Jesus did go before the priest. And after all kinds of illegal ceremonies, he's declared unclean and guilty. And they cried out, crucify him! Crucify him! The leper, in bold, blatant disobedience, went out and began to publish it much. And Jesus, in meek obedience to his Father, stood before the priests and fulfilled what it says in Isaiah 53, he was oppressed, he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He is brought as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before her shearers is dumb, so he opened not his mouth. He obeyed his father. The leper here is never to be for us an example to do what he did after he's healed. Never. Don't ever try to twist it into something else it isn't. Disobedience has its consequences. That's our third thought. We'll take a look at it after we sing. 337. Thy wondrous testimonies, Lord, my soul will keep and greatly praise thy word by faithful lips proclaimed to simplest minds the truth conveys. All four verses of 337. The consequences of his disobedience, insomuch that Jesus could no more openly enter into the city. Jesus couldn't go openly and publicly into the city anymore. His public ministry is hindered by the leper's actions. Here's his reasons why he didn't want the leper to tell anyone but to go to the priest. He had to fulfill the law, and Jesus had to preach. Therefore came I forth, he said. That's what I was sent to do. I am coming to preach and to teach. And the more people emphasized the miracles and the healings, and the more people focused on those things, they were not paying attention to what he was saying. And so, here is a leper interfering, hindering the work of the Lord Jesus. People were more interested in his miracles than in the doctrine he was preaching. Even the disciples were more interested in his popularity ratings than in the word he was preaching. Yes, Jesus cared for those people's physical well-being, but never at the expense of their spiritual well-being. That's what he came for, to seek and to save that which was lost. He came to save his people from their sins. Therefore came I forth to preach. He came to make an atonement that would reconcile sinners to God. And he came to preach the good news, and now he is forced to be in desert places, outside of the city, in uninhabited places, where the leper should have been had Jesus not healed him. It's striking. We never hear of this leper again. It's the last thing we hear of him, that he hindered Christ's work. We don't know if he came back in repentance and faith and sought forgiveness. We don't know. We may hope and trust that he came back to Jesus, acknowledging and confessing his sin of disobedience. That he came back and said, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. That he came back and said, oh God, keep me from disobeying you. Keep me true to the word. Believers, we need to realize it. When we disobey, we hinder the work of the Lord. He doesn't bless disobedience. Be careful how you walk. Learn it from the history of this leper. He came to the Lord Jesus, worshipped him, spoke to him. The Lord Jesus is moved with compassion, touches him with his perfect hand. The Lord Jesus spoke to him, I will, be thou clean. And his leprosy is gone. And then in the next verses, Jesus commands, and the leper's blatant disobedience. And the resulting hindrance in the Lord's work. Never read anywhere that Jesus commended this leper for what he did. But he said, thank you, Mr. Leper, for going out and blazing the matter abroad. Jesus doesn't thank his people for their disobedience. Never read that he held this man up as an example for us to follow. We do not dare to say that the leper was obedient and that he showed his gratitude by disobedience. How can that be? We can't. How shall I show gratitude to God for such deliverance? By a life of obedience to him, not by blatant disobedience. The world says, if it feels good, do it. Right? Christians don't say that. Christians say, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? Human reasoning says, this makes so much sense and it feels so right, it must be right. That's not what Christians, their faith in action say. He says, I don't trust my own reasoning. Show me thy way, O Lord. Show me thy way from the word of God. Think about it. There's so many ways that we can do this. Disobey. I think especially of my background, my church life, can be that I've come to the Lord Jesus Christ just like the leper did and say, Lord, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean, and you can believe by faith that he has actually done it and that you are cleansed. And then when the Lord's Supper is celebrated and the Lord Jesus says, now do this in remembrance of me, then we can spend so much time remembering me instead of him. And even at times disobey. I think of some of our younger boys here. I hope of our younger boys, there are young boys here struggling with a call to the ministry or to mission work, if you saw the pictures this morning. And maybe there's something in your heart that says, oh God, can I be used as somebody to do the work of God in that way too? But then you can't just begin doing it. That's what the leper did. He just started on his own, and this makes sense to me, so this is how I'm going to do it. No, God is a God of order. He has his own ways. And he wants us to use the means, and he wants young boys to talk to the elders and say, I have this burden. I want to be a missionary. How can that go? What must I do? And the Lord will open doors and close doors, and you're praying all the time, Lord, show me the way. Show me through the word and through providence. You can't just go and open those doors yourself. That's what the leper does. He's disobeying. No. The Lord will open them. Maybe some of the young people here thinking of a future marriage. Who in the world am I ever going to get married to? And maybe the future looks pretty bleak to you. Well, then you don't just go out and find the nearest wife you can and get married to her. No. You do things in an orderly way, the Lord's way. You do on your knees, Lord, lead me to the one that thou would have me to get married to. I'm waiting on the Lord to bring me a godly husband or a godly wife. Or if you're thinking, for example, of a vocation, what am I going to do with my life? I have all these skills and things, but But as a Christian, I want to be most useful to the kingdom of God. The world says, go out and get a job that gives you the highest pay and the very best benefit package you could find. Go for it. But a Christian says, I want to use my skills, the skills that the Lord has given me, that He has blessed me with, my computer skills, for example, or my nursing skills, or my driving skills, or my flying skills, or whatever skills, my love for little children, or my love for old people in God's service. Don't just go out and blaze your own way. Say, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? Where and how and when? And He will show you what to do and when and how. Trust and obey. That's the way. And the leper was not trusting and obeying. He was trusting all right and in his own wisdom, and his, which is really nothing but foolishness. But he was not obeying. But see, we have to learn as Christian people to think like Christians. To have our minds subject to the mind of Christ and every thought brought captive to His thoughts. If we go our own way in disobedience, we will hinder the work of the Lord like the leper did. We hindered him. We see something else here too. We see that people who are cleansed are not sinless. Right? We like to think so, but we're not. Far, far from it. There are no heroes. There are no champions among the Christians. We're all sinners. Saved sinners, but sinners still. So let's not be too harsh on the leper. Let's give him the benefit of the doubt. Let's give him the judgment of charity. And praise the Lord that he was healed and hope that he came back. We know it was not hopeless for him. It's not hopeless for us either. But we may never belittle sin. We may never call sin something else. Sin is sin. And let's not call it anything else. But another thing, we can never underestimate the grace of God to sinners. Whether those sinners are coming for the very first time to Christ or coming back every day, coming back to Christ, we may never underestimate the grace of God. Because also for all the others who came, Jesus gains the victory. It says in the text that he was without in desert places. He couldn't go to the people. What happens then? Then the people will go to him. Nothing can stop him. Today too, he still draws people to him. Jesus was outside in desert places, and read it, and they came to him from every quarter. They kept on coming to Jesus. They couldn't stay away from him. They came to him from every quarter, even from Harrison, Arkansas, and from Jordan, Ontario, and from every corner of the world, from Uganda, from South Africa, from Zambia. They keep coming. They're still coming. And he's still not sending them away. And he never will. They keep coming to him. They obeyed. Come unto me. Come to Jesus. Repent and believe the gospel. Come to me, all you who are labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. It's a command as well as an invitation. They came from every quarter, from the north and the east and the south and the west, also from all walks of life. And we may still come today. We may come back today. Always welcome by Jesus. We may glorify the Lord God today by obeying the gospel call. We may still come today. And we can follow this leper in as far as he follows Jesus. That's what Paul said too, right? He writes somewhere, follow me in as far as I follow Jesus. So we may follow this leper as long as he's going towards Jesus, coming to Jesus, but not when he walks away from Jesus and disobeys. So we follow him when he comes, falling down before Jesus, beseeching him, worshiping him, calling out to him, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. But we don't follow him in his disobedience. And something else, we may still come today without fixing ourselves up. Just come, just as you are, full of sin, because the central person in this history, in this gospel, is not the leper. It's Jesus. He's the hero. He's the champion. And all your leprosy of sin is not a hindrance. It's the very reason for you to come to Christ Jesus. It is your very sinfulness that is one of the qualifications to come to Jesus. He says that to sinners, come to me. He calls you. That's your warrant to come to him. He calls sinners. And the example is in the leper coming to Jesus. Coming to Jesus. And believers, let's be very careful never to make excuses for sin. Never. Never. Obey the Lord Jesus Christ. Trust the Lord Jesus Christ. He knows what is best for you. If you love me, he says, keep my commandments. Don't go contrary to what he says. We are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God has before ordained that we should walk in them. This leper's disobedience is not listed there under good works. It isn't. It was his sin. But the grace of God cleanses us from all sin. So even when we have gone out and disobeyed, we may come back and receive the cleansing of our sins. Again, for those sins of today. Yes, I know. When we come by faith to Christ Jesus, he washes us completely clean. And all our sins of the past and the present and the future are forgiven. But I still sin today. And I can't end the day without saying, God be merciful to me, a sinner. Can you? Amen. Let's pray.